Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Welcome to Off the Cut episode 92. We're up in Toronto and here in Ohio. Today is known as Tuesday, November 28th, 2023, which means the Green Suitors podcast, the worst woodworking podcast in our space, available on Apple and Spotify, still sucks. But you know who doesn't suck, Zach?
The sponsor of today's video. Or video.
Video.
Oh, all right. My.
This just screams that you're a YouTuber. Oh, well, the who doesn't suck is KM Tools.
That's right.
So if you don't know who KM Tools is, it's a tool company run by our good buddy Jonathan Katz-Moses. And he thinks that woodworking should be accessible for everyone. And the company was made by woodworkers for woodworkers.
Woodworkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean, Zach?
That means that every single item in his store, he either designed himself or, you know, probably with the help of his team, realistically, or it's something that they have in their shop.
Yeah. And that's why he always says, if it's in their store,
or
it's in their shop, right? Hmm. Right?
Yes. That is that the official slogan of KM Tools?
I don't know if it's the official slogan, but it's
I'm going to start saying it is.
Yeah.
Well, and then if Jonathan gets mad, I'll stop.
It's on his business plans recorded at the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, great tools, but the best part about it is a portion of all their profits go directly to the Katz-Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund, which helps get tools and resources in the hands of those who need it most. And Jonathan is working towards his goal of giving away $1 million in tools. And so he was posting some stuff today and I reposted it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a donation to this as well. And challenged other people on my Instagram stories. Had a couple other people respond back that they also donated. So yeah,
very cool.
Consider checking them out. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, well, first of all, Derek's back. Derek, we missed you last week, man.
On vacation?
Yeah. Oh, for the record, I drove. I didn't fly.
Okay.
I drove straight through Columbus, and we were in Detroit looking over at Toronto.
Oh, nice. So I was okay. Back. So I was right when I said that you would be driving, and then Eric rudely corrected me. So how was the drive? Was it because I've kind of done that drive before, and it's a little...
Yeah.
It's a little tedious.
You had a bad taste in your mouth whenever you did it. So
that's true. And I also didn't have anybody else in the car with me to keep me entertained. So maybe it was fun with the family.
Yeah, it was a good drive. Yeah.
Good.
We drove up, stayed the first night in Kentucky, and then we went on through Ohio and did Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and checked out Detroit and Milwaukee and Chicago and then came back.
I think when I did the drive, Kentucky was my favorite state, just in terms of like geography. There's a lot of hills and stuff like that. It's an interesting looking place. And then by the time I got over into Ohio, it was all dark, so I didn't really see much anything. Just the headlights in front of me. But it is a nice drive.
So Kentucky is the best state.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good drive, yeah.
Ronnie Fulton, you heard it here first. Your podcast sucks. But you live in the best state.
Pretty.
That's gonna for you, Ronnie. You can use that as an endorsement now. I live in the best state. Off the podcast. Well, a lot's been going on. I don't know. What do you guys want to talk about? You want to talk about what you guys have been doing? We want to get back to the last half of the question from one of our viewers wrote in that we didn't get the chance to answer the rest of it, and we didn't want to just throw it on the ground.
I think let's go back to answering that question because it was a good one. But before we do that, I have to know, why is there a big stack of Festool tools behind you?
Oh, okay. Well, first off, I bought all of them. except the orange one.
For everybody listening at home and who can't see the video feed, there's probably a 4 foot tall double wide stack of sustainers directly behind Eric. So I think it's like 6 or 7 sustainers, if I had to guess.
Four feet high.
Oh, the first stack is 3, but they're the biggest ones. So the ones,
yes.
I think they're like the 400 or the 500 something millimeters tall. I don't know. I don't know how they work. That's a 3 stack, and then the one closest to me is 2 of those plus 3 small sustainers on top. And I bought all of it except the green and orange one because that was their Festool's Christmas gift to everyone.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, it's a camo sustainer. Yeah, they do Christmas gifts. It's a camo sustainer with a camo hat and coffee mugs.
Cool.
But the story of all the other sustainers was when I was at the Hartville hardware event thing like 2 weeks ago or whatever, right before Thanksgiving. They had a whole bunch of stuff that was on closeout. And a lot of it, like these big sustainers are called their cooltainers, which is basically a cooler. And
cool.
Inside of it, you get like a thermos and it's lined with like foam. So it's like, you know, insulated and whatnot. Well, here's the thing. It was cheaper to buy the cooltainer than it was to buy the sustainer that was of equivalent size. And I'm to need that to store tools. So I was like, I just got 5 of those.
Yeah. And then you're going to rip out all the insulation and just use them.
Right.
Normal. Yeah.
Right. Smart. And then like give the coffee mugs away to people or, you know, something. One of them was a whole bit sustainer. So it comes with like tons of drill bits and like bit tips and stuff. Cool. Also was on closeout. It was like half off. And another one's like some screwdrivers and whatnot. That would be one I just keep around the house. Again, like half off. I was like, sure. Whatever. Yeah, end of the year. So ended up being I got all of those for less than the price of like 3 things full price or something.
Okay. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, we're on the subject of Festool, and I know I said we would do the question, but you know, this is how the podcast goes.
Yeah.
I have a project coming up where I need to do a little bit of kind of mortise and tenon work.
So are you going to get the domino?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. But so hear me out. It's not a particularly big job. I'm just making some props for a movie. I'm not even going to make a video out of it. Yeah. They don't need to be super strong. It's kind of like it's an old school backpack frame. Yeah, so it's going to be like a wood frame that has canvas stretched around it. Again, it's a prop for a movie. So I'm thinking, should I bite the bullet and finally buy the domino? Or should I just be a cheap ass and just get a little doweling jig?
Dude, you are going to hate yourself. Unless you get a good doweling jig, you're going to be so pissed off.
Well, I could spend a few $100 on a really nice doweling jig, or I could spend $1,500 on a domino.
The best doweling jig.
Yeah, you could get the doweling jig that Scott uses, the dowel something. It's like a Canadian one, I think.
Dowel Max, I think.
That sounds about right. I know there's also Jessam makes a supposedly really nice one. I've not used either of them, but I've heard raving reviews for both.
Yeah.
So what do you think that'll set you back? $300-$400 on tops? Just, like, let's be generous.
The dowel Max is $250.
All right, so call it $300 after tax, shipping, whatever. Or do you get a domino, which I don't even know how much that is now after all the price increases, because they increase prices every year.
Good call. Let me pull it up.
I think mine was $899 when I bought it.
Okay.
Or $999. You're getting the DF500.
Yeah, DF500. So is this the domino?
It's $1,200.
Yeah, 1500 Canadian.
Okay. Huh. So you're talking a 5x cost increase.
Yeah.
So the domino will be a hell of a lot faster and take virtually no setup.
I'll probably need to do 4 Or well, if it's Domino's, I would do 4 connections per piece, and I'm probably going to have to do 10 of them, so 40 connections. Or with the dowel jig, I would probably do 2 per, so double that and say 80 dowels.
So I've done a time test when I was building a dining room chair a while ago, and I built one half of the chair with the doweling jig, one half with the domino. It was between 4 and 6 times faster to use the domino. Yeah.
So,
at that point, I mean, you're not really making enough where I think you're really going to save in time. Let's say you had to make 40 of these things. Domino.
It's a relatively small project, but I'm just kind of like, and do I just, I haven't even sent them a price yet, but so it might very well be that I take all the profits from this job and then use them to buy the tool. Yeah. So,
is it something you could see yourself using again later?
That's the thing. I'm sure at some
point. Zach doesn't woodwork anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure at some point I will find a use for it, but it's like, it's a tough pill to swallow. It's expensive. But then I get to join the prestigious club of people who own dominoes. So,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I gotta see you use a domino to make a Nintendo or something.
I'm sure I can figure something out.
Yeah, but I mean, like, let's say you wanna make a bed in the future, right? Boom, you get the domino connector set.
Yeah,
and now you have like knockdown furniture that's not garbage.
Yeah,
if you build any piece of furniture, you'll be like, oh my god, the domino was great.
Yeah, so it's do I make this investment for the future? Because I realistically, I am going to make more furniture at some point.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Like, I'm going to put out more YouTube videos.
Well, you're just going to start doing 10 tool videos from now on.
Oh, God. We'll talk about that. But honestly, the price is only going to go up.
Yeah.
That's not innovative. Like, they're not making a new version of this. They haven't updated this thing in forever.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
The patent's not expiring anytime soon either.
No. Once you have it, you'll be pumped. You already have the dust extractor, which is instantly connects to it.
Yes.
The only thing, well, when you buy this, what's 1500 Canadian, 1200 US, you also, I would highly, highly suggest buying the other sustainer that comes with all the extra dominoes and every size bit. Okay. It is a insane savings. So the bits are like $50 to $60 a piece. So you get, I think you get 5 bits in there. So you're already at $350.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you get it fully loaded with like all the domino tenons and stuff. And I think it ends up costing you what? $350?
Yeah.
$400?
Yeah. 500 Canadian, but.
Yeah. It's a really, really good value.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, then you're talking, you just spent $2,000 Canadian, right? Which is like, you know, 1600, 1700 US.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll see. It's a movie production thing. So maybe I can really bend them over the barrel when I give them a quote for the price.
Yeah. Is this for your buddy that does the.
Yeah. Yeah. Thing? So basically anytime there's a prop in any movies that they're working on that need to be made out of wood, they call me.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Nice.
So, it's been good. It's been fun. They give me like weird
or an employee. Yeah. Of the company?
No, he's the owner. So they will. So there's I think 3 principals on the company. So like 3 people who are working together in a props department working for. I think they were all working on the Star Trek TV show at the time, and they were like, "This is dumb. We should start our own company instead of just working as employees of the production." Right. And so they basically do all the same work now, except they work out of their own office and then they just, you know, make stuff there and then send it to set.
That makes sense. So are you allowed to disclose what movie this would be for?
I think so. It's for Guillermo del Toro's upcoming movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what it's about. It's set sometime in the past. And, I think the backpack frame is going to go on Oscar Isaac. So
nice. That's pretty cool though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm serious. Like you watch the movie and you're like, oh, I built that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Behind the magic.
Right. Mm-hmm. So would this be something you could pitch to like him and go like, listen, I'd be happy to do this. I'm kind of eyeing this new tool that would make this job easier and tons of other jobs in the future easier. Like, would you consider like you just basically pay for the price of this and we just call it even?
Yeah, they're like, it's nice because I'm working with my friends, so they're more interested in protecting, like, how do I say this? They're more worried about me being happy to work with them than they are about, because it's film. Everybody overcharges like crazy in film.
Keep the money in the family, so to speak, too.
Exactly. So if you give like, you know, if you give like a crazy price, it's fine. Nobody really cares.
Right.
Yeah.
I would go for it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Especially if you want to build furniture in the future, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
And you can piss people off in the YouTube comments.
That's true. That's true. That is worth a lot to me. I already piss people off every time I break out the CNC or 3D printer. No, I can't afford one of those.
What you got to start saying is, you know, and then I'm going to pop this on my CNC to do it. But if you don't have it, just use your laser.
Yeah. I do want to get a laser, too. That's another expensive tool that I've been eyeing.
Well, then you can actually use that. You can be like, and if you don't have the CNC, just pop over on your laser. And do
it over on laser. Yeah, exactly.
And if you don't have that, just use your Shaper Origin. And if you don't have that, I don't know. I don't know what to respond with. Cut it out with your domino.
I guess you can just jigsaw it or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but then you have to get the Mafel jigsaw, the one that's like $1,000 and they only sell in Europe or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, but definitely.
So, all right. So if you do buy the domino, get the 500. You don't need the 700.
Yeah, what's the difference between the 700 and the 500? What's that? That's 500 millimeters, I'm guessing, and 700 millimeters?
To be honest with you, I have no idea what the number is based off of.
Okay.
If you really want to dive into it, Jason Bent made a video about it. You can check it out. Long story short, the Domino 700 can make tenons that are like up to like 4 or some inches long.
Wow.
And they're like, I'm sorry, talking like the size like a Snickers bar beefy.
Yeah, yeah.
But think, you would have to make big furniture to ever use that, right?
Which I generally don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have never needed the 700, but if like I were building a bed, you could be like, I could see how that would be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe some really chunky furniture, but yeah. 99% of the time you would want the 500 a third of the weight.
What about the accessories? Like I'm looking at, so you can get it two ways. You can get the what do they call this? The set, the 500 Q set. And then there's the 500 Q plus. And so, for some reason, the plus has less stuff.
Yeah.
That's a horrible naming convention.
Similar conventions are awful. The more expensive one comes with what they call cross stops. So if you have like your domino, you're looking at it kind of like somebody standing up. It's like if somebody would put their arms out, it makes a little like cross that goes across. I've never once used that. But the idea is that if you're trying to make a series of dominoes all the way across a board, it has little like registration pins in it. So as soon as you plunge into one, you can move over and the little cross stop things have a little like nipple in it that like hits in the next one. So you could always say, oh, I want them every single tenon to be 4 inches apart or something like that.
Okay. That's kind of cool actually.
Yeah. The one that is really nice though is, I don't know what it's exactly called. It looks like a half circle. And it goes on the bottom, and then it has little fences that squeeze in the side. That's really, really nice if you're doing small pieces to make sure that it's always like dead center when you put the domino in.
Okay. Gotcha.
So like if you were doing like a picture frame or whatever, or, you know, some sort of mitered box, you could always make sure that it's, you know, if the piece is 2 inches wide, you could always make sure it's dead center in the middle and it like basically locks it in. It's kind of like a fence, like an additional fence for it. Honestly, most of the time it's cheaper to buy the combo kit than buying the domino, then buying that extra thing on the side. You might as well just get it. If you think you might ever use it.
The price difference is only $100. So if you're going if you're going all out, if you're spending the $2,000, what's another $100?
Right. Yeah. And at that point, you know, buy everything they got. No. Yeah. See, it makes me sound like I'm a salesperson for them. I don't get any commission for this. But yeah. Go for it.
Okay.
It doesn't look like it.
No. Hey, I bought all of that except the green and orange one myself. We were making fun of that so much. We were like, why the hell would they make this? Like, who is their target audience with this?
Clearly YouTubers. Did they even sell that?
Been like green and red.
Yeah. They sell it. You want to see it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
I already took the stuff out of it. Never mind.
Here we go.
I think the idea is it's $99. I think it's marketed towards someone who like needs a gift for their spouse.
Yeah, totally. Like,
oh, this, he or she Lakes Festival. This is $99. I'll pick this up.
I guarantee every member of the Green Suitors podcast is going to have one of these under their tree.
Yeah, because they're trash.
I'm sure they got one from Festool as well, but their spouses will have also got them.
Well, they'll probably re-gift them.
Yeah, true.
At $99, that's got to be the cheapest thing on Festool's website.
Might very well be.
It's probably pretty close. I mean, it does come with it. Comes with two nice coffee mugs in there.
Yeah.
But
and you get a sustainer you can use for something else.
Yeah, you get a sustainer. Yeah.
You know who enjoys camo sustainers from Festool?
Our patrons?
Yeah, our new patron.
Ooh, new patron. Didn't see that.
Gonna go with it's either JC or Jace.
Okay.
So we'll go with that. And then return. So Jace. I like Jace. I'm gonna go with Jace.
I get into JC. We'll call him different things.
Yeah. Well, Jace has unlocked the after show and a bunch of other perks, including the giveaway.
We're gonna
pick the winner tonight live on air.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna do it live? Oh, that's extra exciting. I like that.
Every month, KM Tools wants to give away a $50 gift card to patrons. And to celebrate the first month of the partnership, he's also giving away his Pro Router Plane, which is a $230 value.
Yeah.
All you have to do is sign up to be a patron. You get access to the after show. You get our private Discord server. You get our... I forgot about this. Our first... live video hangout that we did last week, our BYOC that we do with patrons.
BYOC? Yeah,
absolute blast. It was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed on for almost 2 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But we had a great conversation. It was a blast.
No, it was fun. It was like, it was, I don't know, it was nice just, shooting the shit. Sorry, I got
there. It is.
I was like, oh, explicit. Yeah. It was fun just shooting the shit with our patrons. It was nice to put some, like faces to names. Just have like a casual conversation.
Yeah. And with that, we want to thank our returning top tier patrons. We've got Chris from Black Forest Creations, Josh at Freedom Workshop, Dadu, and Corey Duvall. Now I know what you're thinking.
Eric, but shorter than normal.
That seems shorter than normal. And we totally know. Surprise, surprise. It seems Patreon has gone into this lovely issue again where people's billing account is just who the hell knows what's going on. Like it shows that people are active but they've canceled, or they're active but it's expired or something. We don't know what's going on. So just a friendly reminder, if you canceled, it's all good. No hard feelings.
Totally get it.
Right. But if you do want access to the after show and you're like, man, the after show hasn't popped up on my phone in a couple of weeks,
just
log into Patreon, check it out, and you'll get it all situated.
Yeah.
So, with that said, should we announce the winner of the first giveaway?
Like right now?
Yeah, you want to do it now?
I thought that was an after show thing, but heck yeah, let's do it right now.
Oh. All right. So I downloaded all of the patrons. I put it in a spreadsheet. and it's a random number generator. It does, you know, some special stuff. And this is exciting. Do we have a drum roll
thing? Oh, I bet we do. I bet we do. Hold on.
Oh,
I deleted a bunch of them.
We are not pausing.
I have this.
Okay, that's pretty good. We can at least give the hand claps when the winner's announced.
True. Yes.
You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And here we go. The winner.
Uh-oh.
Camera just went out, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Oh, my Lord. Accessory.
Hold on. Technical difficulties.
See, that was me. I hit the enter key really loudly. Actually, I already know who won. Oh, my Lord. Well, because I just hit the enter key.
This is great podcast.
we're keeping people on their toes. Okay. I'm back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You are?
I'm going to hit it lightly.
Okay.
Actually, I already hit it, so I already know who won. The winner is. And then let me guess. What tier do you think this individual is? Are we talking tier 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Because the higher tier you are, the better likelihood you have of winning.
Yes.
This so, $280 gift.
Here's my hope.
Okay.
Is that it's going to actually go to one of the lower tier patrons.
Okay.
Because as much as I would love to reward our higher tier patrons, I really love the idea of somebody. I'm hoping it's somebody who signed up recently, so they've only given us like $3, and they're immediately getting like $350 in value at the other side.
Ooh, I see what you did there. Well, the winner is, and Derek, what was your guess? What tier did you say?
Level three.
Okay.
It was a tier one person. So Zach, you got your wish.
Woo!
You ready?
Yep.
The winner of the inaugural KM Tools Off the Cut podcast month one giveaway. And as a reminder, there are more giveaways coming every month. But this month is a $50 KM Tool gift card and a $230 KM Tools router plane. That's a good giveaway for a tier one patron.
Nice tool.
Is Chris Babick. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Congrats, Chris. Chris,
well done, Chris.
That was nice.
I just said, "Well done, Chris."
Chris, I'm writing your name down right now. I will email you tomorrow to confirm with you. You know, if for whatever reason you're like, I want to give it to somebody else, totally cool. I'll get in contact with you. And then we'll get you set up with Jonathan, and we'll get that sent out to you.
Hell yeah.
Whew, that was exciting. I wish we could do an entire show of just giving stuff away.
I'm looking for that. Yeah, that will be fun.
Right?
Interesting. Yeah, maybe we'll try and find a way to make that happen. Huh. But I'm excited to do these monthly giveaways.
Like that's, this is exciting.
Yeah,
this is fun.
Did it feel like you have a lot of power?
Kind of, yeah.
Changing people's lives.
But no joke, you get a $230 router plane plus a $50 gift card to KM Tools. Mm-hmm. That ain't bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All for paying $3. That's not a bad return on investment.
Yep.
So if you want to get access to that in the future, go to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast and unlock all kinds of stuff, just like these giveaways and the after show and hanging out with us. But we'll move on.
Okay. Yes.
So
let's get back to our question.
Yes.
Okay.
So the reason this came up is, as we've talked about this fairly often, we often get questions from people on Instagram or whatnot. That's a fantastic question, but it's asked, like, for us to answer these questions, it would be a disservice for me to respond in a text format.
Yes.
So I replied back to him and I was like, we're going to answer this on the podcast because we could talk about this for an entire episode. Great question. So we answered like the kind of the first half of his questions last week, but I'm going to kind of bring up what we have left to discuss.
Okay. Perfect.
This is from
pressure.
Yeah. I know no one else remembered. Daniel Soroka says, shooting my first video with a family member who was a videographer. wanting to shoot YouTube, then use YouTube content to shrink down into reels for other social media outlets. Here's my overall picture. Start selling furniture using social media as an outlet for more advertising slash growing a brand. Do a fun, educating style of video, sometimes partnering with other Columbus content creators. So I know that was a lot, but I wanted for you to understand where I'm coming from. I'm a person who's very process-driven and modifying processes to do them better as I learn. And there were more questions, but we answered the other questions on the, you know, latter half of last episode. So diving in. Go for it, Zach.
Oh, you want me to go for it? Okay, yeah. So, well, I swear we talked about, there were some issues in what he kind of laid out at first there.
Right.
And I think we touched on it a little bit last week, or maybe did we do that in the after show?
I think we just touched on the don't use a videographer for your first video. And I think we kind of ended it there.
Okay. And then also, well, he was talking about collaborating with other Columbus creators.
Right. We did not talk about that.
We did not talk about that. That is something, again, that's kind of in the same vein as why we said not to use the family member who was a videographer. Mm-hmm. I would say the same thing about collaboration, especially early on.
Yeah.
It is going to be orders of magnitude more complex to organize those collaborations than you think it will be. And it's the payoff for those collaborations, unless you really, really just love working with other people for the fun of it,
right?
In terms of growing your audience and your subscriber base and stuff like that, those collabs are going to be relatively worthless. You might pick up, you know, a little bit here and there, but you would be so much better. The time would be so much better spent just trying to make good videos that, you know, like if you have a great video with no collaboration, that is going to outperform a so-so video with a huge collaboration on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. I think that's going to be a lot of extra work and he's not really going to see much return on it. So I would think to avoid it. What do you think?
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think collaborations started, let's be honest, it started as a way of, hey, will you basically feature me on your channel, shout me out so that I can grow from your audience. And then usually you reciprocate as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think people really care anymore.
I'm sure there are some people who will click through, but it's going to be a vanishingly small portion. Right. So, like, say you collaborate with somebody who has 100,000 subscribers, and they say in their YouTube video, like, hey, I really think that this guy's videos are good. Go check him out. You might get, like, I don't know, 500 people or something like that.
Maybe,
yeah. Like, and those are going to be low-quality subscribers, too, because they might not be perfectly aligned with your content. I would just focus much more on building your own audience and don't look at that. There's a lot of advice out there on social media about how you can kind of jumpstart your growth by latching yourself onto other content creators. And I really don't think it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, like, I don't know, there's an element to it of, like, I mean, a lot of time smaller creators will ask me to collab with them. And it kind of just feels like, unless I know the person well, like we've talked in the past, it just feels like somebody's trying to use me or like use my audience.
Yeah. And it typically comes from people you've never talked to.
Yeah. It's like, it's one thing when it's, you know, somebody that you'd be talking to, you're like, you consider that person a friend. But I've had people reach out to me out of the blue and ask me to collab with them. And it's like, I don't know. It just feels a little transactional and gross to me.
Right. And like I'm saying this to not try to come off arrogantly, If somebody reaches out to you that you've never heard of before, and they're like, hey, Zach, I want to do a collaboration with you. And the first thing you're thinking is, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm sorry, but what's in it for me?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're going to spend, you know, a whole week on a project. I'm going to stall everything that I'm working on to help you create a video that I get nothing back on in return. Like, I'm sorry, we're really busy. Like,
and I think maybe some of that comes from the naivete of not knowing how much work goes into making a video. Like, I thought I was going to collab a lot more when I first started my channel.
Oh, I wanted to too. And then I made like two videos of my own and I was like, this would be a nightmare to collab with someone.
And you realize time to bring up my my new idea.
Get out of here, Derek.
But like I used to think I would collab all the time, but then you realize you're so goddamn time strapped all the time. Yeah. You just don't have an extra week to kind of go mess around with somebody in their shop and, you know, kind of play around. And so it has to be like very strategic and it has to make a lot of sense for both parties in order for it to be viable.
Right. So like, let's you know, you got a decent sized YouTube channel. You reach out to, I don't know, what's Marquez? I always forget the guy's last name.
Marquez Brownlee.
Yeah. Your guys are both in the tech space.
Yeah.
You reach out to him and you're like, hey, Marquez, I want to do a collab. He's going to tell you to fuck off.
Yeah. Rightfully so. I would never ask him to collab because I like,
But and why is he going to say that? He doesn't have the time to do it and there's no return on investment for him. Like, I understand, you know, you look at a YouTube channel and you're like, oh, this is fun. This is entertainment. I think a lot of people neglect to see the business behind it, right?
Yeah.
And he has to, just like you and I, every other YouTuber out there has to utilize their time to grow their business. And do they do fun things? They do charitable things? Yeah, absolutely. But if you accepted every single time somebody wanted to collaborate with you, you would never get anything done.
Yeah. So I think bottom line, collaboration, I would not look at that as an avenue to start or launch or help accelerate the launch of a social media brand. Agreed. I think early on, especially, focus on scoping it down so that you can do it solo. Try to minimize the number of variables involved.
And until you, go ahead, Derek. Go.
I was going to say, until you make it to the size of Jason Hibbs and you make it a Patreon giveaway thing, the collab's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, look, there are ways that collabs can work. I'm not like poo-pooing the idea entirely, but I would not put it as like one of the central pillars of your growth strategy.
Right. So like if like something that would work well, like Zach and I are good friends. If I, and even then, if I ever pitch this to you, Zach, I can see you being like, oh God, I don't know. But say like, I, you know, was building some piece of shop thing or building a piece of furniture. And I was like, but I really want to add some tech stuff. I'm going to bring in my buddy, Zach, who's going to help me. And you'd like be featured in the video basically. Even that would take so much orchestrating and planning. And like, you're thinking like, okay, yeah, that would, it's basically an excuse for us to hang out.
Yes. Yes. Which is worth it sometimes. Like that's like, for you sure. know, like is, you know, getting to see your friends and hang out is fun. But again, I wouldn't, I don't know. Yeah. I would, especially early on, I would not worry so much about the collab stuff.
So in the case that you and I would collab on something, somebody is watching my video, you know, I've got like 100 or so YouTube videos. You've got 100 or so. If they saw you in my video and then they went to your channel, they would go, oh, he's got 100 videos for me to watch. If your first video or second or third video you put out is a collab, now these people go to your channel and they're like,
nothing else to offer me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great point.
If you haven't nailed down like the branding, like the thumbnails, the titles of, and somebody's like, I don't even know what this guy does on this channel. I think everything we've talked about is a don't start with collabs. Consider it in the future, but don't view it as a growth strategy. Do it because you want to do it.
Yeah, because you're genuinely excited about the collaboration.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think all of these things that people kind of say to bootstrap your growth or to help accelerate your growth, it's like you got to nail the fundamentals first.
Agreed.
And the fundamentals are good videos that people watch. And if you can't do that, don't even worry about all the other stuff.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
You're and, putting the cart before the horse.
Right, right. And so that kind of brings me to one of the other things you brought up is wanting to shoot for YouTube, then use YouTube content to shrink down into reels for other social media outlets. So
yeah,
I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I still kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
I waver on this one. Mm-hmm. As yes, you already have content shot and you can utilize it for other platforms.
Yeah.
But other platforms don't pay dick.
Yeah. I mean, again, focus on the fundamentals, like, and focus, scope down when you're first starting out, keep it manageable, pick one platform that you're going to excel at, and then worry about
Agreed.
Branching out into other things. Yeah. I do like, I go back and forth on this, you know, like I've stopped now posting a lot to other social medias other than yep. YouTube. But for the aforementioned reason that they don't pay dick. And I think if I do ever get back into making more short form content, I think I will eventually, but I'm going to be more strategic about it. I had this strategy early on of like, you know, you make the YouTube video and then you're essentially looking at the YouTube video, like what part of this video can I, where can I find short form content in this long form content?
Yes.
And I think that kind of like volume approach doesn't work anymore. I do it again, I'm going to take a more strategic approach where I'm planning the short form content before I make it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm filming specifically to support that short form content. Cause the people when they're on Instagram or they're on TikTok, their attention span is so short. So if you don't have a really tight edit, they're just going to swipe away and your video is not going to do numbers. And it's basically just wasted time.
Right. Right. I don't disagree with that. I think my mistake starting out was I was like, okay, well, I have to have a website. Okay. I have to have a blog. Well, I also have to have an email newsletter. Well, everyone says I should be on Pinterest. Yeah, I don't even know how to do Pinterest. Well, I should also be on TikTok and Vero and all the, you know, the other, all these things. I had a lot of discussions. I was talking with Drew Witt on the phone for a while. I was talking to Jason Bent at Hartville for a while and Ronnie and, you know, Matt from MWA a lot recently. And we're all kind of on this idea of why are we wasting time on things that don't make us money and have no return? And why are we trying to be good at everything as opposed to just being really good at like one or two things?
Yeah.
You know, like it's hard to spread yourself that thin, right?
No, it's not. It's not a viable business model.
No.
And the great thing about getting really good at one thing is that you know this, and I think most people listening should know this, but the amount of money that you earn, you know, making a video that goes from getting 10,000 views to 100,000 views, you're going to earn exponentially more money, but it's not like that big of a difference, right? No. So if you get good at making videos, then all of a sudden your earnings go exponential. You can start affording to farm out some of that other stuff.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, you know, maybe you bring on an editor to do short form content for you, or maybe you hire somebody to run your website. And that way you can stay focused on the thing that you're really good at and hire out the rest of the work to somebody who's an expert in that space and who can do it better than you.
Which it's interesting you said that, because that's literally what I'm doing right now. I hired a professional design firm to overhaul my website and set it up on Shopify. Could I have taken the time and made a Shopify website myself?
course.
Absolutely, I could.
Yeah.
But it is worth it to me to pay what I thought was a very reasonable sum of money for them to do all of it. And they're knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah, you end up with a better result. You also end up with more time in your schedule to work on the things that you do the best.
Yeah.
And or to just spend with your family, which is, you know, important too.
Right. And the other thing I just recently hired out is, I told you, oh, you know, I've been really working on growing Facebook, doing this, doing this. I was like, man, this is taking me time. I've got some steam. I'm making, I am full transparency, like $100 or $200 a month on Facebook. Like, you're like, cool, exciting. I've put in way more than 100 or 200 hours into that. So I'm getting very little return on investment. And I talked to several other people about it, and they're just like, why are you messing with Facebook? I'm like, because it's an avenue to do it. They go, no. Why are you messing with Facebook? I'm like, what do you mean? They go, hire someone to do it for you. So I'm in the process of doing that now. It's we're just through some admin stuff. But like, as soon as I thought about that, I'm like, why not?
Well, yeah.
So, and if it works out, I told you I'll hook you up with them as well. Cause I think
I'm very
you can monetize curious. In Canada, right?
I think you can. Cause is Matt from MWA Canadian? I think he might be.
No, he's from, he's in Tennessee.
Who am I thinking of? There was a Canadian who was absolutely killing it on Facebook too.
I don't know. Dusty Lumber?
Yeah, Dusty Lumber Co. Yeah.
I think he's running. Well, I don't think they want people to know, but he's got several people on his team that reprise all the comments and everything like that, but they try to make it feel like it's just him.
Yeah. Sure.
But
I don't know.
But that's the example. That. You're outsourcing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm excited to see how that goes.
Did we touch on everything, or is there any more to that question that we haven't done yet?
Start selling furniture using social media as a outlet.
Yes.
Yeah. That kind of ties back into all the rest of it.
Yeah. Again, I don't know. Maybe this is just my own personal bias bleeding in here.
Yeah.
Because I don't really want to make furniture for other people, but I also think that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad... I think you really want to decide what is your business. Is it a content creation business or is it a furniture business?
Right.
Because if it's a furniture business... you're going to be making a lot of the same thing over and over again.
Right.
And
you'll never have time to make the videos because you're like, oh, it's going to take me so long to film it. I just need to bang these out.
Well, yeah. Which it gets into they start conflicting with each other in a bunch of different ways. Like, you can't make good content if you're making the same thing over and over again, right?
Right.
So... they do eventually start running into... I know there are some people out there who do... like, doesn't... I think Cam, he, like, sells, like, a lot of his stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I assume the content, it must be a much bigger business for him than the furniture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just as a boxy workshop, he shared with us what he made in 1 year on that, and we were like, you would be selling a lot of furniture to hit that volume.
So again, I don't know. I think it's fine. Like, running a furniture business is a perfectly viable business. Tons of people do it. It's a lot of fun, but it's going to take away time from the content side of things, which I think is probably a more profitable avenue to go down if you can get good at it.
And if you enjoy it.
True. Yeah, very true.
I can't think of anything worse than building the same piece of furniture over and over again. But I'm sure other people would be like, oh man, I want to listen to Off the Cut podcast, start to finish, all the way from episode 000, and just bang out this chair and just zone out.
Yeah.
Well, then you're probably the last person who wants to deal with shooting videos, editing videos, doing all the back-end analytics, adjusting titles and thumbnails, doing all that kind of stuff, right? They're different people. I think you have to decide which person you are.
Yeah.
And try them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get, but maybe that's just our personal bias because we don't enjoy making the same thing over and over again. So there's probably a creative way to get around it, but just that's just my first impression. It doesn't sound like a good idea to me.
But so Daniel basically got a 1 hour long consultation.
Yeah.
On an Instagram question.
I feel like it was negative. Like we were saying like a lot, don't do this, don't do that. But I think
redirecting.
Yeah, just like course correct a little bit. Because Eric and I have gone down many of these avenues already, and we're trying to speak from experience and save you time. Yeah,
right. I'm trying to break down barriers, right? Yeah. Same with people who are like, what camera should I start out with? The one you have.
Yeah.
And we're not just trying to be all like, you know, pat you on the back. Oh, just use the one you have. Don't try to go and learn a new camera because now you're adding another barrier that's going to make it even harder for you to get started. Yeah. You know how to use your phone. Use your phone. And then when you go, man, I really wish I was able to do this, and this, then go get a camera.
Yes, exactly.
Then you know what you need.
Right.
Exactly. Find the limits of your current equipment before you even start thinking about upgrading. Yeah, and I want to prevent people from going down dead ends because you can go down dead ends and you don't realize they're dead ends until you're at the end of them and you're like, oh, damn, now I've wasted all this time.
Ooh. So can social media lead to local sales that effectively in this space?
I think it used to.
Yeah, like
I don't see it.
I don't see it either. Maybe if you were like a marketing
big enough.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, so what's the coincidence of needs and geography? So say somebody needs a table for their house,
right,
and you have 10,000 followers. What are the chances that that person is even going to be A, following you, B, in your geographic area, and C, willing to actually pay the prices required to create a piece of furniture? It's like the Venn diagram starts to get really, really small. All those overlapping circles, trying to find somebody who,
Get hooked up with an interior designer.
Yeah.
Get a nice portfolio going. I think we've talked about that before.
Yes, yes. I think that's a much better way to find consistent work.
Right.
I'd say from my observation, not experience, it seems like you've got two lines that are going to cross. You've got you creating content and making money from that, and then you creating goods and services and making money from that. And eventually, one of them start going higher than the other.
Yeah.
You're either going to be making more money from the content or you're going to be making more money from the goods and services, and you got to pick a lane. And then one of them can kind of be there on the side. But really, like, what's your main focus going to be?
Yeah.
Because I mean, you both.
Yeah. And you can use selling furniture to like kind of bootstrap the content business or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to sell a few pieces you make early on to afford a new camera or whatever. Like, that's definitely, But you are going, I think at a certain point, you're going to have to decide what's the main business actually going to be here.
And I mean, we're not. The camera went out again. What is going on?
No. You must have like a loose USB cable or something. Oh, you're back for a half second. Oh,
it's just toggling it out.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was going to say, I'll adjust once somebody else starts talking. But we're not shy in saying this, and we've talked about this a lot. If you go make a YouTube video or whatever tomorrow, right, and you post it, you're not making any money at all. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go make a cutting board or cornhole boards tomorrow and you sell it, boom, you have instant money. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, do you do both to start until you gain steam? Or is it one of these things where you work your day job and then do content on the side and almost kind of treat it as a hobby as you slowly build it up? Like,
yeah,
I think it would be ill-advised of someone with no income to just go, tomorrow I'm starting a YouTube channel with no revenue streams. I would not advise that.
Yeah. That's yeah, it's a gamble. I mean, again, when it comes to back to this concept of bootstrapping, like if you have a day job that pays pretty decent money, I think that I would divert funds from that rather than quitting that and then trying to make cornhole boards and then sell those in order to fund the YouTube channel. Because chances are you're probably already an expert in the field that you're doing. Like, you won't have, there's not much of a learning curve. You can, you know, if you're well into your career, you can probably do whatever it is with your eyes closed, which will allow you to, you know, maybe free up mentally, think about the content you want to make. I don't know. I think that the selling of stuff can become a distraction and, take you away from the main thrust of your business.
Yeah. I mean, that's a perfect example. Like we talk about with, you know, TikTok and all this kind of stuff. It's a distraction.
Yeah.
Focus on what you want to do and do it well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been seriously considering cutting TikTok altogether.
Yeah. Oh, I almost deleted it off my phone today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
But then how are you going to see the viral videos?
I don't watch TikTok. I open it up, I post, and I ghost.
It's funny. I will actually use TikTok occasionally. I almost never use Instagram Reels, but sometimes I will sit there, you know, while I'm going to the bathroom or whatever and just watch 3 or 4 TikToks in a row.
But do you enjoy it?
Yeah, sometimes they're funny.
Okay, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
But you're not watching from our space. You're watching from other areas.
Yeah. Yes. Again, my feed, when you boot it up, it's like nothing woodworking. Unless it's one of my friends pops up, it's almost no woodworking content. It's all like comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah. Finance.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, that kind of stuff I go to, that's hard to do in short form content. Mm. It's mostly just like clips of comedians and stuff like that.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Those make sense. Me laugh.
Yeah, but no one is killing it on TikTok unless you have the TikTok shop thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
or like
10 million followers.
Yeah. So I've heard the new thing on TikTok is all just this affiliate shit where like you get this vacuum cleaner and then everybody tells you that's the best vacuum cleaner in the world.
Right. That
reminds me of my newest YouTube video.
That stuff is so dangerous though, because in a TikTok video, it's such short, so you can't like really say that much about a product, right? So you can't do like a proper review.
No.
And I feel like so much of that must just be content mills where people are just trying to get as much affiliate links and income as they can. Mm-hmm. So the incentives are a little perverse there. They just say they love something so that you'll click it and buy it. And then there's no recourse if the product turns out to be crap.
Do you think that the people who do fairly well in some of like the TikTok affiliate stuff, do you think that it's their money comes from the video? Or I know the answer, the videos or the affiliate thing? It's the affiliate.
Well, yeah, I think affiliate's probably a big part of it. Like, cause well, you know, the TikTok pays, you know, what, $100 per million views or something like, if that.
Oh, less than that.
Maybe even less than that. Okay. So, and we know the affiliate stuff can do quite well sometimes. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, what's Amazon pay? Somewhere between like 1% and 3%
on 3%,
depending on the
click link. Yeah.
I've got some affiliate things that are 25% to 50% commission on it.
Oh, really? Oh, because they give you those like, are you talking Amazon or are you talking like private?
Okay. Private companies. Private companies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like MagSwitch is 50%.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
So you buy $100 mag switch, I'd get $50.
Yeah.
And, but honestly, the products are insane of theirs.
I love mag switch stuff. I use it all the time in my shop, but it's a tough pill to swallow because their stuff's expensive. And like $100 in mag switch is like one little magnetic block.
In like the medium strength one, not even like the heavy strength one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But
But it's great welding tools and great woodworking stuff too.
Yeah. Oh, I got to put that in another top 10 tool list video thing. Yeah, can I just say how much I hate that video is doing well?
It's that time of year.
I know.
Do you think that video would still do well if you put it out in March?
I don't know. I mean, know it was strategery. I put it out at this time of year for a reason.
Yeah, totally. Right.
So I tell you the story behind that one?
Well, you saw Matt from MWA do it, right?
So I saw Jason Bent do it.
Oh, Jason Bent did it too.
He did one, and Drew Witt is actually the one who made him the thumbnail and title.
Oh, really? That's funny.
And then Matt did the exact same thing. And then I was talking to Matt the other day, and I was like, hey, dude, I think I'm going to do a pretty similar video. And he was like, yeah, dude, get in on it. He's like, go for it. So I literally did the exact same title and thumbnail as him.
That's
He texted me earlier today. He goes, oh, he's like, nicely done. Your video's going to the moon. He's like, it looks even better than mine. And it's so funny that it's literally the same title and thumbnail.
I looked at Matt's thumbnail and then your thumbnail. I was like, oh my God, it is like.
I know. It's and identical. I texted it to him. I asked him.
Like, yeah, I know. That's funny. Like, I wonder, have you compared click-through rates with him? Like,
should. My click-through rate's not that good. It's like 6%.
I mean, for a video where people watch the whole thing, like, click-through rate and average watch duration combine in weird ways sometimes. Like, if you have a crap average watch duration and a great click-through rate, it's like, you kind of get, like, a medium result.
Yeah, yeah. So, my audience retention is 8 minutes and 54 seconds of a 24-minute video, which is, like, 36%. It's not great. Yeah.
Not great, but it's also, you know, already been watched, 100,000 times, right?
Yeah.
So.
117,000 views in one day, 8 hours. What hell? That's crazy. Are you kidding me? Like, but see, this is the frustrating thing, is I shot that video in 45 minutes.
Right.
It took me like a day to edit because I did a bunch of B-roll and like made it real tight and was trying to make it snappy. But like, if I had to, could I make one of those videos a week? No problem.
Yeah.
But do you want to?
No.
I mean, at least
like one a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that's like my Black Friday Christmas timey video.
Totally. Yeah, just put it out like beginning of November or something like that. So it still has momentum going into the holiday season.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I'm very thankful it's doing well, but I'm also like, you gotta be kidding me. Versus a dining room table that you spend 3 months building.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get 5,000 views.
It sucks when the videos that you like the most don't perform as well, the ones that you don't like.
Right.
It's such a weird spot to be as a creator, right? Because you want it to be fun. You don't want it to be a grind. You're constantly making videos you don't like, because that's not sustainable. You're going to burn out eventually if you keep doing that. So,
right. Like, did I enjoy editing this video? Hell no. I'm just watching myself talk at the camera, and then I throw B-roll that I've already edited and like filmed before. Yeah. On top of it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a grind. And just watch my next video get like 1,000 views.
This one, well, I mean, this one's doing well. It should give you some momentum going into the next one. So
I hope so, because I don't think it's going to be super exciting.
What's the next one?
It's going to be, I think I'm going to title it something along the lines of, I finally got rid of my table saw.
Okay.
And so I started out kind of like talking about like, oh, you know, the table saw is like the, you know, most important tool in my shop. It's what I use for everything. I started out with this one, then I got this one. But for me, like, the table saw is no longer enough. And then I'm like, and that's why I'm getting rid of it. And then I ended up cutting out about 15 minutes of the video after that point to try to make it just really, really tight and snappy. Yeah. Just kind of like going over like why I got the new table saw, how upgrading to a nicer table saw is like make things easier, like kind of what you get with it.
Yeah.
As I'm like putting it together, I'm not like, okay, then you take this bolt and you put it on here. It's more like putting it together and I'm like, and one of the great things about the table saw is like, you know, when you get a nicer saw, it comes in separate pieces. So if it's not perfectly flat, you have the ability to like level and adjust all those pieces. And I kind of like mentioned that as I'm doing it. So it's like more educational, not just like put bolt B here. So I don't know if it's going to do super well. People do like seeing tools and like stuff like that. So I don't know.
Top five reasons I replaced my table saw.
I'm just hoping that after how well this video does, that it'll bump up my sponsor evaluation for Mark. So,
maybe we can talk about this in the after show, but it's been, I've been frustrated lately. I haven't had much good sponsorship stuff.
No, but your channel's been knocking that out.
I know, that's the thing. Like, my
have you gotten offers?
Just nothing that's really like stuck. There was like some stuff, some people kicking the tires earlier, but haven't had anything in a while.
So I wonder if this is something that we can do is just like, you know, talk to Mark, be like, hey, I got a video that I want to put out in, you know, 4 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
Can you find me something?
Well, that's, I kind of said something like that to him because the Nintendo 64 video that I did close to 1 million views in the first 30 days.
Hell yeah.
And I have a very similar, well, I already talked about it on the podcast. I'm going to do the PlayStation 2 next.
Yeah, so
Which might even do better. So, and I mean, it should at least in theory be somewhere in the same neighborhood. Very similar topic, you know.
Similar idea.
So I'm like, I want to get a good sponsorship for that, but I also want to get it out before the end of the year because RPMs are really high.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm kind of like now conflicted. It's like, do I wait for a sponsor or do I just put it out sponsorless? I'm going to have a talk with Mark and
hear
what to do.
It's a tough decision. I mean, do you potentially miss out on thousands of dollars by not doing a sponsor, or does having no sponsor and you get the video out during this season where ad placements are a lot higher, does that behoove you? I don't know.
Exactly. It's a little bit of a thing. Anyways.
And does the video perform better with no sponsor on it? That's always a conundrum we could discuss ad nauseum.
I think almost certainly a video performs better with no sponsor.
You know what's interesting about the video that I put out yesterday? Is there is no dip during the sponsor part.
Really? Interesting.
No.
Did you I haven't watched it yet. Did you break up the sponsor read like we talked about?
So I literally was just like, here's the first tool I'm going to talk about why this, this, and this. Here's the second tool I'm going to talk about this, this, and this. Here's the third tool, this, this, and this, all the way from to number 10.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that tool number 2 was the sponsor.
I see.
I basically was like, you know, one of the other things that's worked really well for me, that somebody who has like a low, doesn't have access to a lot of power, is a portable power bank like this one from Yoshino. And then I just kind of talk about the benefits of portable power banks. I had like one sentence I had to say about like the features of it. Yeah. And the rest, I'm just kind of like talking about them in general. I don't think people realized it was an ad read, which is what I was going for.
Yeah. Fair.
You know?
I mean, if you got affiliate links on all of them, aren't they all technically ad reads?
Yeah, true.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is like, I'm like, oh, here's a TSO product. There's a link in the description. Here's, you know, a headphones link in the description. You would probably, as a casual viewer, I think you would be hard pressed to delineate which one was the sponsor of the video.
Yeah.
Which is what I was going for. I was like, this is the perfect one. Because they wanted a 2 minute long ad read. And I was like, oh, that's going to be tough just to. Right?
Yeah, that's so. Do they let
you, if you wanted to, could you break that up in the video, or does it have to be 2 minutes continuous?
This specific one, and I took it on because my videos hadn't been doing super well, wanted a 2 minute ad read that started in the first 3 or 4 minutes or something like that. And I was like, oh, baby, that's rough.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
But, you know.
I mean, looks like it did turned out.
Yeah. Well, so am I going to turn into one of these channels that just does a top 10 tool list video every week? I hope to God not. Please, people, watch my furniture projects. But yeah, it's been going well. It's gotten me excited, you know, reinvigorates things.
Good, and, good. Yeah, that's important. Yeah.
Because the past couple of videos were, they bombed.
It's hard, man, when you have a video that you've worked so hard on and it doesn't do well. It's pretty brutal.
Especially ones you thought were going to dominate. The don't buy Milwaukee tools videos. Like, this is going to crush it.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing. But I don't know. I might kick around some ideas with other people who haven't even seen the video and be like, what would you title this? Get like a fresh set of eyes on it.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up before we go to the after show, that YouTube A/B testing that I finally got access to.
It. Yeah.
Garbage.
Really?
All it says is what the watch time was.
Interesting.
It's like, oh, this thumbnail gave you 50% watch time. This one gave you 49%. It's like, okay, but was one clicked on twice as much? Like,
well, so what YouTube is trying to do, and I know this from watching that interview with the community manager, was they're trying to optimize for audience satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
So that's why they're pushing the average watch duration, because they want you to make, they don't want you to clickbait. They want you to have a title that's informative and then people stay and watch the whole thing.
So she put out like a 3-second video.
Yeah. Well, I think we know, we don't know for sure, but I have a suspicion that longer videos in general are better just because they keep the people on the platform. Like if somebody's locked in and they watch your thing the whole way through and it's a long video, I think that's really good for YouTube. But we both know though that watch duration isn't the most important thing. It's very important, but click-through rate is also very important. And TubeBuddy now shows average view durations for different thumbnails too.
I'd still take TubeBuddy over the YouTube testing any day.
Can the YouTube testing, you can do ABC testing though, right?
You can.
Yeah, you can.
And I actually did it on my most recent video and I got the results back in 25 minutes, which was nice.
Oh, crazy.
As opposed to having to wait multiple days, because it was just like, Derek, you get this one. Zach, you get this one. You know, Scott, you get this one.
Yeah.
So
best case scenario, TubeBuddy's like 3 days, 4 days, I find.
Yeah.
So it makes it hard to check. Interesting. I still haven't got it. I'm still waiting for it. So
it's still in beta, technically.
Yeah.
So it even says beta on mine. Oh, so.
Hopefully when it rolls out, it also shows the click-through rate as well once it comes out of beta.
Oh, and you can't test the title. You can only test the thumbnail.
Oh, really?
Huh. Mm-hmm. Which is a bummer.
TubeBuddy's probably pretty happy right now.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know they're going to kill it, though. They're going to kill TubeBuddy soon.
You think so? Yeah.
They went in on that money. Or they're going to have a creator premium thing where you spend X dollars a month to get access to all these additional analytics tools and stuff like that. That's what they should do. I'd instantly subscribe to it.
Yeah, but like YouTube already keeps 45% of all the money you make. So they're like, if you're doing better, they're already making more money, right? So they want you to get more views. Like your goals are pretty much aligned. So I don't see what the point of them charging $100 a month or whatever for some special analytics tools would be.
You want more views. They want more audience members wherever they go.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yes.
But you guys know where we're going to go?
The after show.
To the after show.